Welcome to Deed and Bee College. Today we're building something small, but seriously important. A jungle fill in Ableton Live 12 that actually feels like old school D&B. Not a random drum flourish. Not a loose edit that throws the groove off. We're making a short, controlled burst of break energy that lifts the arrangement, creates tension, and lands cleanly into the next phrase. That's the big idea here. In jungle, a fill is not decoration. It's a signal. It tells the listener, we're moving now. It can push you into a drop, mark the end of an 8-bar run, or give the track a proper call and response moment. And because this is D&B, the fill has to do all of that without wrecking the kick and snare relationship, without smearing the sub, and without making the whole groove feel floppy. So let's build one that feels authentic, dance-floor friendly, and easy enough for a beginner to make in Ableton Live 12. Start with a clean drum loop. Keep it stable. Tick, snare, chopped break. Nothing too wild yet. The goal is to have a groove with some DNA already in it, because the fill should feel like it came from the same record. Place the fill at the end of a phrase, usually the last bar or the last two bars before a drop or section change. Why this works in D&B is simple. The fill has to create contrast. If the whole loop is already crowded, the fill won't feel special. It'll just feel like more drums. So first check the groove. If it's too full, simplify it before you add the turnaround. Now grab a classic break and load it into simpler. For beginners, this is the fastest route. Switch to slice mode and let Ableton find the obvious transients. Focus on the hits that matter most. Kick, snare, ghost notes, hats. You do not need every single transient just because it exists. If you want to keep it super simple, a light chain is enough. Simpler for the slicing, maybe drum bus for a bit of punch, and EQ8 if the low end needs cleaning up. Nothing fancy yet. We're aiming for character, not overproduction. Now build the fill as a short answer to the main groove. A good jungle fill usually starts with something recognizable, then changes shape in the second half of the bar. So copy a little of the main break pattern into the fill area, then remove a few hits so it breathes. In the last half of the bar, add a couple extra slices or a snare pickup to create motion. That shift from familiar to more active is what makes it feel musical. What to listen for here? The fill should still feel like the same track. If it suddenly sounds like a completely different drum pattern, it probably needs less material, not more. Keep the phrase connected. A huge part of making this feel like a real break performance is velocity. Open the velocity lane and shape the hits. Jungle lives and dies by this. Rezo breaks have hierarchy. Some hits are accents. Some are ghosts. Some are just there to keep the motion alive. A good starting range is something like low velocities for ghost notes, medium for supportive hits, and high for the main snare accents. Don't make everything equally loud. That is the fastest way to make it sound robotic. If the fill feels flat, fix the velocities first. That's often more important than changing the sounds. Here's a useful way to think about the fill. You've got two main flavors. One is the rushed, aggressive version. This one adds density toward the end of the bar. It's great for darker tunes, rewinds, and harder drops. It feels like the groove is pulling forward. The other is the spacious, tension-building version. This one keeps fewer hits, uses a little negative space, and lets the final hit land with more weight. That often works better when the next section is bass-heavy, because the drums step back and let the drop hit harder. So don't just think, what sounds cooler? Think, what does the track need? If the next drop is huge, sometimes the emptier fill is the stronger move. If the tune needs momentum, the busier version keeps the energy up. Now let's add a bit of processing, but keep it disciplined. A light drum bus chain can add nice punch and grime. A touch of drive, maybe some transient emphasis if the break feels dull, and a bit of EQ to cut unnecessary sub. You can also try saturator for grit, auto filter for movement, and utility if you want to slightly narrow the stereo field before the drop. Why this works in D&B is that the fill needs texture, but not extra low-end weight. Jungle fills sound exciting, because of motion and character, not because they are huge in the sub-region. If the low end gets messy here, the transition becomes cloudy instead of sharp. Now for the automation. Keep it simple. Automate one thing only. One clear move. That might be filter cutoff, a reverb send, or a slight volume swell. Beginners often try to automate everything, and that usually makes the fill sound overdone. A filter move is a great option. You can open it up slightly as the fill progresses, or do a gentle reverse move if you want a quick lift. A reverb send on the final hit can give the fill a nice tail into the next section, or a tiny volume push of maybe 1 or 2 dB can help the phrase lean forward. What to listen for? You should feel the motion more than you hear the effect. If the automation becomes the main character, it's too strong. The groove should stay in charge. Now drop the fill back into the full loop with the bass and kick running. This is the real test. Soloing the fill is useful, but context is everything. Loop the last two bars and listen to how the fill interacts with the bassline and the next downbeat. This is where a lot of beginners get caught out. The fill might sound cool on its own, but if it lands on top of a strong bass movement, the whole transition can feel muddy. If that happens, move one or two hits earlier, remove a low hit, or let the bass drop out for the last half bar. You want the first beat after the fill to feel bigger, not smaller. Another important check. Does the bar line still feel clear? A jungle fill can be wild, but the grid still has to survive. That's part of what makes it work on a dance floor. Dancers and DJs need to feel where they are. The fill can threaten chaos, but it should never lose the phrase. A nice arrangement trick is to treat the fill like a phrase marker. For example, let bars 1 through 8 stay stable, then start the fill at the end of bar 8, increase the density in the last half bar, and reset hard on the next downbeat. That gives the section a proper sense of arrival. You can also use a call and response shape, a couple of bars of groove, then a bar of fill, then a variation, then another bigger fill. That kind of phrasing makes the track feel like it's telling a story. If you want a darker vibe, you can do a few smart things without making the fill louder. Let it get slightly darker with a little top-end reduction. Use ghost notes for pressure instead of clutter. Keep the first half restrained and save the most active movement for the end. Accent the snare more than the whole break. Sometimes the most powerful fill is the one that feels like it's barely holding itself together, but still locks back into the grid. One great habit is to keep three versions of the same fill. Make one safe version for general use. Make one bigger version for final builds. And make one emptier version for drop transitions where you need the sub to stay dominant. That gives you arrangement options without rebuilding the whole idea every time. If the fill is sounding good but the MIDI is getting messy, consider resampling it to audio and trimming the tail. That can make the phrase feel tighter and more intentional. It also makes it easier to automate the whole thing as one clean gesture. What to listen for now? The fill should create a lift without stealing the drop. The downbeat after it should feel stronger. And when the bass comes back in, the groove should still feel confident and readable. If all three of those things are happening, you're in a very good place. Let's quickly hit the common mistakes. Too many notes will kill the contrast. Equal velocities will make it sound like a machine gun. Too much reverb will blur the backbeat. Too much sub overlap will weaken the kick. And if you don't test it in the full loop, you might end up with a fill that sounds cool alone but doesn't work in the track. So keep editing with purpose. If it feels flat, fix the velocity. If it feels messy, remove hits before adding effects. If it feels thin, strengthen the accent structure, not the entire bar. If it steals the drop, reduce density and shorten the tail. That mindset will save you a lot of time. Now let's wrap this into a proper practice move. Build two versions of the same one-bar jungle fill. Make one more aggressive. Make one more spacious. Use only one break sample, sock Ableton devices, and no more than 8 MIDI notes. Automate only one parameter in each version. Then loop both inside the full 8-bar section and decide which one actually serves the track better. That's the real skill here. Not just making a fill that sounds busy. Making one that feels believable in context. So remember the core recipe. Start with a chopped break. Shape the velocities. Keep the low end disciplined. Use one clean automation move and always test the fill in the full groove. A great jungle fill should feel like a controlled burst of energy, a tiny liftoff that snaps right back into the rhythm with purpose. Now go build both versions, listen carefully, and trust your ears. If the groove survives the fill and the next downbeat feels bigger, you've done it right.